Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Be Simply the Sushi, and I want to thank you for joining us today. We have Brian Reeves here. We're going to have a conversation, continuing conversation about the masculine and the feminine. In our last course, we talked about the sacral energy, the sexual energy, and the power that it has, and also the, I think the seed, part of the seed takeaway, Brian, you can correct me, was one for all of us to really embrace our sexual energy and not feel shame around it. And I would like to see the second step for today, and then I'll point a question towards you. So first of all, I want to thank you, Brian, for being here.
Yes.
And kind of diving in with me in this conversation.
Absolutely. And Suzanne, I just want to check in with you. Can you hear my voice okay?
Can you hear me just fine?
I hear you, but you're very staccato. So I don't know how that's coming through for the listeners, but I'm getting like 50% of, I mean, I hear everything you're saying, but I hear like every other letter. It's the weirdest thing, but I'm kind of picking it up. I just want, maybe that'll clear. It cleared last time, so I just wanted to check in. You can hear me fine.
I think that's just the beginning in the server. So we'll roll with it. If anyone's listening on the chat board and there's a problem, let us know. Okay. Well, so why don't we dive in with the aspect of one, I guess, trust, how to build trust in ourselves and others as we relate to the sacral energy, the sexual energy, and we'll get into a little bit of this.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't, for you, Brian, how have you explored being a man to build trust in yourself, where you trusted your instincts with someone that you wanted to be intimate with, but also just with the people you want to engage with, because this energy, as I see it, you know, plays in all aspects of our life, like we talked about, you know, in our conversation, in our work. So, you know, when we become more into alignment, we have to have discernment and learn to trust ourselves again. So if you could share a little bit on that topic.
Okay, absolutely, and so it's interesting. It's like a little bit like flying through turbulence right now, and then it clears, and then so anyway, I just want you to know I'm holding on to every word I can get, and but you came through clear with the question. So let me, as long as you can hear me, I want to dive into that, but I want to really ask you some questions about this too. I mean, when you talk about trusting yourself, I mean, what's coming up for me is, and I've been on coaching conversations all day long with men and women around masculine and feminine energies and intimate relationships, and this idea of trust. A lot of us grew up with a parent or parents that brought this masculine energy, like we were looking to them for masculine love or feminine love, like I certainly was for my parents, but they didn't quite give it to me the way that I would have felt really great. Right? There's just I almost learned to distrust the masculine energy that was presented to me through a parent because it came through really funky, right? And so, and I think a lot of, I spoke with some women who had fathers that were really abusive or just missing. And so there was this element of not trusting masculine energy. And I can just say as a man, learning to not trust that energy in myself, just given all of the cultural messages, right? It's bad to want sex. I don't know how that got into our culture narrative, but there it is. It's somehow shameful to want sex, and my masculinity is like, oh my God, I just love, I want to penetrate a woman, and I don't just mean that physically, but there's that energetic thing in me that just wants to, I just want to, to psychologically, spiritually, energetically, and physically just penetrate a woman. I want to enter her in every possible way. And yet, but I'm told that that's bad, right? That I shouldn't, that that's aggressive, or that somehow, especially in this day of we have to treat women differently. And we have to treat them really like our equals in the sense of they're men too. They're people too. And we're people. So let's just relate to each other as people. Let's leave the sexuality out of it and rate them really. And it's like, wow, just how can I trust myself with these powerful energies in me when everything, all the messages I'm getting around are that that energy is dangerous or inappropriate. I mean, how was that experience for you, Suzanne?
Well, you know, it's interesting, and I don't know if I've shared this with you before, maybe I have. In my adolescence in high school, I was raped, and that kind of tilted my whole reality as I relate to men. So it's a big topic to try to contextualize into one answer. But I think more and more with people I work with one-on-one, on some level, some type of violation. So with that being said, someone would force themselves on me. Someone would take advantage of me. And so I had a lot of compassion, even as a teen, because I'm like, that's not right, because my father had always been so honoring of my mother. I knew something was amiss. And, you know, this is something that I see over and over where there is a lot of shame for men. There's a lot of shame for women and a lot of abandonment to act not in our highest and best in relationships, not only in intimate, but in friendships and in relationships. So for me, I feel that.
So then I'm going to hang up and call back because I'm having a lot of difficulties hearing anything.
Okay.
I'm going to hang up and call back. I'll be right back.
Okay. So I'll just keep talking while Brian calls in. So the key point there is, and I'll recap for him, is that if each one of us, as I see it, could take the opportunity to take responsibility for our emotions and learn to communicate with everyone that's in our lives, that might start to rebuild the trust, especially with this creation energy. The energy that we're talking about between the masculine and feminine is not just about Congress. It's also about everything that you're going to create in your reality. So I'm going to bring Brian right back on. Brian, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. I just kept talking. What I was recapitulating, or I'll encapsulate for you and point a question to you, is that I think the key for me to rebuild trust, and has been, and actually has been the scariest part of my healing with both the masculine and the feminine, because in the moment that I was raped, my friends kind of were absent. They were MIA, and I couldn't understand why no one knew or wanted to know where I was. So I lost trust in both the feminine and the masculine in one mm-hmm. fatal swoop. But, mm-hmm. you know, I can't blame anyone. But I really think the scariest thing has been for me all these years is to regain relationship, but in a new way, almost in a united front, where they realize they might ebb and flow with that energy, but they can also know that they're there for one another and they can be vulnerable enough to speak what's on their mind and what's in their heart. And I think this is true when we have resistance, especially if we can't communicate with our intimate partner, then we're not more than likely not able to communicate in other facets of our life, meaning work, friendships, all those things, right? So
Yeah, absolutely. It shows up everywhere, no doubt.
And I guess for you, so I use communication as one key way to rebuild trust, and maybe you, with your clients that you work with and you're doing your own inner work, you're another key practice or pointer that you have that someone could try out to see if they start rebuilding trust that arena.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. I saw this kind of, it was almost comical, but yet so sad in what it was pointing at. There was a post, you know, that video about sexual harassment that went viral, the New York City thing, and just there's been a lot of stuff in the last couple months, really pointing to how women are treated in public, and I wrote an article for Good Men Project called How to Compliment a Woman, and really taking this on. And I saw this post. Some woman said somewhere, she was like, I can't remember exactly what it was. It's something like, guys, sorry, we can't take compliments in public because your asshole friends, I'm sorry, ruined it for the rest of you. So when you start policing all of your buddies out in the streets and getting them to start treating us with more respect and consideration and care and concern, then we can talk. But until then, this is just how it's going to be. It's like your friends ruined it for you. All your buddy friends ruined it for you, the ones that are just not treating us well. And, you know, I really, really get that. And I think when I talk about rebuilding trust, what I'm really looking to help people reconnect with is first, I like to get awareness around these things, because what happens is we've made each other adversaries, right? Mm-hmm. We've taken this divine dance of yin and yang energies, masculine and feminine energies, this beautiful divine dance, one that flows naturally into the other. And I mean, this partnership, we're locked in divine partnership, but we've made it a war. We turned it into an adversarial conversation. Mm-hmm. So, and as long as we maintain that stance, as long as the masculine is suspicious of the feminine and the feminine doesn't trust the masculine, then there's really no hope for us in that sense. So what I'm really excited about is just bringing awareness to how these energies are playing out and why they get stunted or corrupted. You know, the things that do happen early in our home. I mean, the women who grow up not trusting masculine energy, even men who grow up not trusting masculine energy or being manipulated by feminine energy. And so, you know, I'm really, the only thing that we can ever do is take care of our side of the street, right? I can't run around there actually telling other people how to be and policing other people. But what I can do is be an example myself and really connect with a mature masculine energy. You learn, what does that even mean? What does it even mean to be a mature masculine man in the world? What does it even look like? Or in a relationship? And same with women. I work with a lot of women. That idea of rebuilding trust, what I'm really hoping to do is, number one, just help them understand why the men in their midst behave the way they do. Right? Because we're all innocent in our ignorance. Mm-hmm. And that, just that alone, if we can realize that we're just in it, everyone's innocent. It doesn't excuse the behavior, but at least it gives it some context. It gives it some compassion. We can have compassion for these people that are acting so unskillfully in our midst. It's because they're ignorant. If people really understood what they were doing, the impact they were having, they wouldn't do it.
Absolutely.
Like if we really could feel what we're creating in other people, we wouldn't. In most cases, if we really understood, right, even Jesus said, forgive them for they know not what they do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big part, I think, of rebuilding trust. It's just creating some space of awareness and understanding. And obviously then that goes for having awareness and understanding for ourselves. So many people, we're so hard on ourselves for the choices we make and the things we do and what we say and the patterns we repeat. And, oh, why did I keep doing that? Why did I go back with that guy over and over and over? I keep choosing the same guy. I'm an idiot. What's wrong with me? And there's nothing wrong with you, right? It's just these are practices we learned to develop. We learned these certain behaviors as really like protective mechanisms, just responses to the way that we grew up. So I think, you know, for me, rebuilding trust is really about that. It's just about having compassion for where we are now, getting some awareness around how we got here so that we can then, and especially have compassion for the people in our midst. And then it's like we get to be partners again. We take away the adversarial component and we just get to be partners in this dance. And it's an ugly dance sometimes, but it's still... We can still be, you know, when we learn to dance, it's jerky-herky. It's a little funky crazy, and we step on each other's feet, and we bump noses, and we do all kinds of funky, weird things that we're not trying to do. But we're partners in this dance. So
yeah,
that's definitely a big component. What does that bring up for you?
Yeah, this is a fun dance trying to figure out, because I'm used to always interviewing, so it's also allowing you to lead here.
Uh-huh.
We're putting this in a practice on this interview or this discussion, really. I absolutely agree in what I kind of witnessing, I pay attention to all of this. This week I saw one of those maid trucks, and it said maids topless. And I was like, wow. And I, you know, that kind of stuff makes me sad because I think about the woman that's having to clean someone's room topless. You know, it's a, you know, twisted piece of information. Like you said, we can't go around policing one another. So what that brings to me when I see that, like, okay, well, I can't police the people that want the service or the people that sign up to work and be that service. Yet I can say, wow, can't we do better as a society and how can I do better? So when you talk about that, being a little clunky, we may step on each other's toes, bump each other's nose. What it brings up for me is how can we light? That's the other thing that's in a mirror. You know, if someone doesn't do what you say, sometimes we cut them out. Or if they don't show up exactly as you need in that moment, it's game over. So how do you think from a male's perspective you could assist the female biological person that you're talking to from the male's perspective to really not be so impatient sometimes if the story is not unfolding exactly as she wants, and what she could possibly gain if she's a little bit more patient and create some space to allow the male embodiment.
Suzanne, I'm sorry, I didn't really get a lot of that. I think you asked me a question.
Yeah, what I was curious is if what you would think or how you would encourage the female to potentially create a little bit more space for the masculine versus demanding what she wants in a moment.
Okay.
You know, where we can cut things out or give ultimatums or stop things because they're not going according to the script that the female has created in her head.
Okay. I get that. Yeah. Just so you know, I'm still having, it's hard for me to get everything that you're saying. So I'm holding on for dear life here at times.
I'm sorry.
But I got that. I don't know. It's weird, but I got that. You know, one of the things that I think we're really ignorant about is that we think we're supposed to be the same. And what I mean by that is, I mean, we kind of know that we're not the same. Like, we just know. Instinctively, men and women, we're not the same. Masculine, feminine, we're not the same. We don't yearn the same. We don't want the same. We don't search the same. We don't communicate the same. And so this is, again, one of those places where we just have constant breakdown. And one thing that I think is really a really powerful distinction that I share a lot is this idea of masculinity is constantly searching for freedom, right? It's wanting to, it wants to solve problems. Like it exists, masculine energy. It's one of its drives in life. Its purpose of being is to solve a problem, is to create freedom, to experience freedom, to break through some obstacle, something that's in its way, solve it so that doesn't exist anymore. I mean, you can look at that in sports, you know, breaking through the defensive line to score a touchdown. It's like the ultimate celebration. You're free. There's no more problem. There's no more defense trying to constrain you, to stop you from doing something. War, the same thing. Business, solving a problem, to making money. That's the same thing. But then we take that into our relationships and you know, well, the female, the feminine on the other part, not female, but the feminine energy on the other part, she's not really concerned with solving a problem. She's, her primary concern, she's searching for love and connection. So she's yearning for this love and connection experience, and her masculine counterpart, partner, is yearning for freedom. So they smash into each other. She's wanting to connect, and all he's hearing is, What's the problem that you need me to solve? Tell me what the problem is and I'll solve it. And then we're good, right? Why are you still talking? Why are you still complaining? What do you want? I did what you said and you're still not happy. Well, she's, because she's not looking for him to just technically resolve the details of something. She wants to connect. She wants to experience his presence. She wants to feel him fully present and engaging her. And so, you know, we're, it's like we're communicating in these two different ways. And, you know, in a man, in a man-woman relationship, it doesn't have to be man-woman, just to clarify, it could be, you know, man-man, woman-woman, but the masculine-feminine dynamic in a man-woman relationship, you know, a man will get in there and he'll turn his woman into a problem that needs to be solved. And that's going to infuriate her because she doesn't want to be solved. She's in the irony is like the feminine is the ultimate unsolvable mystery. It's the it's what us men are so drawn to, but then we're in our ignorance, we short circuit that mystery because we just want to be able to solve stuff. And in the meantime, you know, the feminine partner, again, she just wants to be connected with. She wants to experience relatedness. She doesn't care about problems. There's no problem unless I don't feel connected, and that's a problem. But she doesn't relate to it the same way. So anyway, you can just see how this cycle just gets ridiculous, and this is so much breakdown happens. I mean, is that something that you can relate to, what I'm pointing at?
Absolutely, absolutely. I like how you problem solve. yeah.
<Right. laughs>
Well, and I guess what that brings up for me is that a woman, you know, wants that intimacy, meaning typically in her mind, she's imagining she wants to have a long conversation. She wants the male to read her mind and, you know, cultivate and create the perfect set and setting for her. Some of this may seem very stereotypical, but it's true. You know, she wants to be nurtured. She wants to be loved and cared for. But at the same time, I think more than not, the feminine energy is realizing she can take care of herself. And so she's wanting to approach the masculine a little bit differently. Like, she wants him to want to be there. I think we're moving into that phase of mm-hmm. relationship to one another. And if he doesn't want to be there, yeah. really wanting to someone to show up and want to be there. So some of that
right.
that we're talking about starts to fade away because she's good. She's got everything she needs. No problem to solve. And then he's good. He's free, right? Is that what you're saying?
Say that again?
And then if she's good, he's good. And then they're free.
Yes. Pretty much. Exactly. Exactly. The best gift a woman can give her man is her own happiness. Because you know, he doesn't have to solve that problem. Are you kidding me? It's great. He's got plenty of problems in the world. He doesn't want to... his woman is like the last place he wants to have a problem. Although, again, he's going to look for problems. If he's ignorant about this phenomenon, he's constantly looking for problems. So he'll see them where they may not even exist. Because it's the masculine nature. It's what the masculine nature is doing.
So this is again...
Mm-hmm.
Well, so is it better to feed that in a constructive way? You know, what's a constructive way that the feminine can... And I can relate to that in the masculine side of myself. I'm definitely
yeah.
a very good problem solver. But I don't necessarily... But I'm working with people and their problems, you know, every day. So I get that fulfillment. But what would you...
Right. Think? Well, that's a great question. And you mentioned something earlier that we're moving from dependence to interdependence. And you know, there's a middle point that we're passing through that you didn't mention. And that is that independence phase where, you know, independence, we both want something from the other person and we'll play whatever game we need to get it, manipulation, power, whatever. In independence, we're both showing up. We're going to go 50-50 here. You just take care of yourself. I'll take care of myself. We'll kind of both contribute to the relationship, but we don't really need each other in this dynamic because neediness, that doesn't feel good. It didn't feel good back in that dependence phase. So I'm going to do my best to not need you. And you do the same in that interdependence. And I think this is kind of your question, I think, can really lead into this interdependence. We're showing up and giving our gift. We're showing up and just, I have all of this amazing energy in me, this masculine love, this direction, this purpose, this clarity, and I'm going to bring that to the relationship, and I'm going to offer that to you, and let's dance. You're going to offer because that's just your joy. That's my joy. I'm not doing it to get something from you. I'm doing it because that's what I'm. It's awake in me. It's alive in me, and here I am, and I choose you to offer it to, and you're choosing me to offer your gift, and your gift is your nurturing, your feminine, your radiance, and your joy, and your love, and your companionship, and however often that gift shows up for you. And we're in this beautiful interdependent relationship where we're both fully giving of ourselves, and a man who's the masculine partner, when they're really connected with their masculine energy, there's plenty of problems to work on in the world, and he's not wanting to make his woman one of them, right? So her support, really, it really does just come from, she provides her own happiness. She's a self-satisfied woman who's just thrilled to support her man as he's off in the world making his way, solving the problems, and doing what his masculine energy loves to do. And she's supporting him in that. And again, I don't want to make this a man-woman thing, because it's not. And some people will be triggered by that. They're like, what are you talking about? The woman's just supposed to stand by while the man goes off. No. I'm not saying that. I'm just, for convenience of conversation, we're just using that language. But yes, the woman, while the man is giving his gift to the world, to his partner and the world, which is, I'm going to solve problems, and I'm going to be present, and I'm going to protect you, and I am going to provide, and I am just going to infuse the world, penetrate the world with my masculine gift, my presence, my masculine love. And the woman is at his side, not behind him, but right at his side, giving her love, showing all the ways that, you know, I look at, like, take me. Let's just take me. Let's just bring this, make this real for a second. I'm a writer. I work all the time. I'm a writer, an entrepreneur, and a coach. And I really need someone to feed me sometimes. And I don't just mean, like, a woman's role is to feed me, but I have female friends that are really feminine, and they're, like, constantly asking me, have I eaten today? Right, mm-hmm. Brian? You know, are they wanting to, they care. It's not about them just feeding me. They care for my body. They care for, like, how is my relatedness to the world. They don't care if I'm just solving problems. They admire that I'm on this mission to do this work. But, you know, I have one friend that she sends me pictures of delicious food that I should be eating, and she'd love to send it to me. And it's like, do you think any of my guy friends send me pictures of food? No, of course not. Guy friends don't care if we eat. We don't ask each other, have you eaten today? We don't care about those things. We want to tell them, let's talk about work. But I love that about some of my real feminine women friends, because I'm single, so I don't have a woman in my presence. I don't have that feminine energy in my presence. And I literally forget to eat sometimes. Hmm. You know, I'm so focused on a mission, and I long for that feminine presence because I'm just so in my masculine so much that I just don't care for my body in ways that a feminine presence, she'll just, you know, her gift of nurturing and caring and I mean, that's the feminine gift, and there's nothing not valuable about that. That is invaluable.
Absolutely.
Right, and we've devalued that feminine gift as though it's not as worthy of the masculine gift of accomplishment. That's caca. It's ridiculous.
Absolutely, and if you look at it, as I share with people I work with, you know, food, water, and currency, because we need it in this day and age, but those are our fundamental needs that keep us out of fight or flight. Nurturing with food is such a beautiful way to make sure your foundation is strong. Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's a gift that a feminine person, whether man or woman. And look, if I was more in my feminine, also, if I would be much more concerned about how am I feeling, right? How in my feminine, like, how am I feeling? How's my body feeling? How am I feeling in this moment? Like, that's where a lot of my, how am I related to this moment? That's where a lot of my focus and energy would be. But I'm much more in my masculine, in my work mode all the time. It's just like I run into my head and I hang out there and I just work.
Right. So how do you, and you, I love that we get to the topic of food, because when people have sacral wounds, meaning whether they've had violation, not trusting, no success in relationships, or maybe even a sexual addiction or other types of addictions, sometimes they can fill themselves up with food to comfort themselves because they feel like something's missing. If we look at how that whole scenario, even some people might be triggered by what we're presenting here, the man working and the woman standing by, and that's not what you're saying at all. It's acknowledging the male for the male's energy within us and outside of us is direct, pointed, focused. And when it's doing that, it's not going to pay attention necessarily to the other aspect, the feminine nourishing part, the creative part. Not that it's not there, but it might just be more subtle at that moment.
Yeah, absolutely. If I could just point out, too, just to clarify, I was speaking with a coaching client the other day, and it was a woman who she does all the working in the home, and her husband kind of works, but she's the one that works longer hours and makes more of the money, and she comes home. And one of the first things her husband says is he's there, they've got kids. One of the first things he says is, "What's for dinner?" And she just walked through the door. It's infuriating to her because she's been in her masculine energy all day, and her husband has no appreciation for, and he's like demanding she just go right into this feminine orientation. And like that's an area where her husband in that relationship, I mean, they could design this. Again, they're just ignorant. They don't know what they're doing. They don't understand. But that's a scenario where her husband could be more thoughtful. And so you've got kind of two men in the room in that case. They both want to be the man.
Right.
They both want to be the masculine presence. And it doesn't work. They don't, it doesn't work. It just creates
friction. It's called takeout.
It's called
takeout.
Well, he could do that, but the invitation here is for him to either give her time to relax into her feminine, or he can step into his feminine and take care of her and make sure that she's being nourished and she's being cared for if she's going to be the one that in their life together is primarily energizing masculine energy, so that the family has all the safety and the structure and the finances and all that stuff together. So it's not just a man-woman thing, but again, our ignorance has us do things, has us say things to each other that just are infuriating.
Yeah. But that's okay. So, this is going to happen. So how do you find that you can sometimes, create a save in that moment? Woman walks in, she's been working all day, man says, "What are we going to have for dinner?" And then he sees her start to boil. What can man do in that moment to save moment? And then I could share what the woman could do, but
well,
you could share.
First off, the man has to realize he just messed up. And when I say messed up, I just mean he acted unskillfully. He acted ignorantly. So I don't know that he can do anything if he's already done that. If he notices, that just pissed her off. What did I just do? That's why awareness is so important. Because if we're ignorant, we're just going to keep doing the same thing. Especially a man. Because there's a problem. My woman just got upset. Okay, I got to either solve this problem, or
right.
If the problem's too big because I've been through this before and there's nothing I can do that'll make her happy, then you know what? I'm out of here. So the worst thing for a guy, for a masculine being, whether man or woman, but the worst thing for the masculine presence, the masculine, is to not be able to solve the problem right in front of you. Especially when it's your partner. That's why so many men will stay in the room, but they will check out mentally. Because they're in a scenario where they're like, you know what? I can't solve this problem. Nothing I do will make her happy. So I'm gone.
So what would you do?
What would I do?
If you opened your mouth that way, and that's the role play for
yes.
the listener. So I walk in.
Yes.
I've been working all day.
Hey, woman, make me some food. What's for dinner?
One script could be that I start to get upset, but I don't think I would. But this is pretty.
You
funny.
Give me that look. You give me that
I give
look.
You that look, like, yeah,
I'm like,
my
oh.
buddy.
I'm like, oh. I'm like, you know what? I would say, you know what? I would say, you know what? You know what, honey? I'm sorry. Wait. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the next 30 minutes. Never mind me. Take the next 30 minutes. Go upstairs. I want you to relax. Take a bath. Do whatever you need to do. I want you to relax. Don't worry about, I don't want you to come home and work in the home. I don't want you. Don't worry about me. I got the kids. For the next 30 minutes, you go and luxuriate and come down when you do. Come down when you feel good. That's what I want you to do. That's what I would do. And then I would just take care of business. I'd do whatever I need. I'd occupy the kids. I would, I'd make a sandwich, make some appetizers. You know, if I'm not as good a cook as she is, I'd be patient. But whatever the case is, I would, because I want to be the masculine being in a relationship. I don't want to be the feminine partner. Like, that's not where my thrill is.
Right.
So I wouldn't just go feminine and go, oh, honey, don't worry. You know, you sit down and watch TV or just kick your feet up and I'll get you a drink and I'll be, like, that to me would just, I wouldn't feel really strong in myself. I mean, I could do that sometimes, of course, but not like as a regular
right.
practice. That
right.
just feels
and that's that's important to point out.
Totally. So you see what I'm pointing at, though? I would really, that's a way that I would still allow myself to be masculine, but I would invite her, because she's in her masculine, right? When she walks through the door, she's been working all day. And
right.
last thing that's going to be good for our relationship is just she comes home and just goes right to work in the house. I mean, what is that going to do for our relationship, right? What's
yeah.
that going to do to her psyche? Her as a woman, she's not going to feel like a woman if she's just working from the time she gets up to the time she goes to sleep. What's that going to do to our sex life? So that's what I would do. How about you, Stan? How would you, if your husband, your partner, let's say that, hey, woman, and I'm kind of joking, but not really. Woman, hey, yeah, about time you got home. Where have you been? I'm starving. What are you making?
Well, I'm very spontaneous, so I probably would have nothing in the fridge. Because I'm more European shopper, to be perfectly honest. But I would, if I was really pressed and maybe a long drawn out day, I would be a little taken back. But then I would say, well, what do you feel like? And I would probably create a stall so I had time to figure out how I was going to make dinner,
uh-huh.
and then we would have a discussion about it. And if we couldn't come to something, I would order takeout. If I was really that tired, you know,
uh-huh.
because
uh-huh.
I'm all about, like, I would want us to nourish and I would want to be with my partner and have dinner
mm-hmm.
and relax. So I wouldn't want to get into a big hassle about it. So
yeah.
what I would point out to but I'm very easygoing. So,
yeah.
or I would say, let's go to the market together and get some vegetables, throw them in the car. If we had kids, I would just, you know, figure it out.
Yeah.
But I really encourage women not to get so their panties in a bunch, or men, if they're expecting a meal and the woman's been at home all day with the kids and she doesn't
mm-hmm.
have a meal, just to really, like, meet each other and say, hey, what do you feel like eating? Determine that first.
mm-hmm.
And then you can determine if, you know, you need to go to the grocery store or it's in the house and maybe
mm-hmm.
you guys can cook together. That would be my idea. Even if the man just hung out and talked
uh-huh.
to me while I cooked, I'd be really happy.
Right, you feel connected.
Yeah, and I love cooking, so even after a long day, that's almost a meditation to me, is to cook. So,
mm.
yeah, but
yeah.
if you're, you know, going into that, making it a joyous experience versus
yeah.
a battle is really important. So
well, of course, again, that thing, we're not adversaries. We're all on the same team here.
Exactly. We both have to eat dinner.
We both got to eat. We love each other. You know, and I know we bring our humanity into the relationship. So we bring our wounds and we're working those out. But in the end, I think if just that one alone, if we could remember that we're not adversaries. I know we act unskillfully sometimes, but that we act unskillfully out of ignorance, rarely out of actual malice. And I think even when we do act out of malice, it's still from ignorance.
Absolutely. And so you used the word compassion earlier, and I use communication.
Uh-huh.
And how, even in this scenario that we've probably all lived through one level or another where, you know, we had one image and it didn't go the certain way, especially maybe dinner plans. How could you encourage, I don't know, your fellow man, uh-huh. to be more compassionate of the feminine? Mm-hmm. And then how you can encourage the women, your fellow feminine, to be more compassionate of the masculine.
Yeah,
meaning
well,
giving them some kind of...
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things that's been revolutionary for me in waking up to realizing, and, you know, hear me out on this, because some women are immediately offended when I say this, but just hear me out. As a man, as a masculine man, I finally realized it's not my job to understand my woman.
Mm.
Like, I'm not supposed to understand her, as in, like, figure her out, as in solve her. I'm not supposed to solve her. Mm. And that alone, I think, because, again, remember, you know, and we bring that problem-solving mentality into a conversation, into a dynamic, and it's like, okay, she's coming at me, she's saying words, she's saying this. I'm looking for, okay, well, where's the problem? What is she talking about? Where's the problem that I can solve? How I can't understand her. She's saying this, but then when I offer this solution, she's like, she doesn't want it. So what the heck? And so, you know, when I step back and what I really, again, it's not about man, woman, but the masculine, the feminine is the ultimate mystery. And that's, again, why she's like the Mount Everest of being, and that's why, you know, men and women were drawn to this massive challenge, because we meet ourselves, we meet eternity in the face of that. And so, mm. you know, I really want men to hear, and I've seen this. I mean, I remember coaching one woman on Skype, and she was talking about her relationship, and she'd been married for many, many years, and she did not have a good relationship. She was like, she was raising a son, but it was her husband. And I remember her husband popped his head into the room once, and even, you know, I invited him, hey, I wanted to meet him just to say hi. And he said, he was a little threatened by, like, who's my wife talking to on Skype? But he said something, but he knew it was his coaching. We were doing coaching. And he said something. He's like, well, man, look, if you can understand her, then you and I will have a conversation. Like, he told me that. If you can understand her, then you and I will have a conversation. And it was like, just, it's funny because she and I had just been talking about that. It's not his job to understand her.
Right.
And as long as the masculine being, the presence in the relationship, as long as we're trying to figure out the feminine, it's a losing battle. And it's just going to frustrate. It's going to frustrate everybody, and it's just going to create breakdown or checkout. It's going to create breakdown and chaos, or just we're going to come to the point where I can't solve that. So I'm just going to check out. I'm going to go. Mm. I'm going to go to my safe, my happy place, and not be present. So that's what I would want men to hear. I mean, how does that feel for you when I say that? Like, how does that?
It sounds incredible.
And I want to clarify, it doesn't mean we don't have conversations and try to exchange ideas and all that stuff. I mean, that's what women sometimes get triggered. You know, I want my man to understand me. Well, yeah, not the way that I'm pointing at.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think, you know, I think the mystery that, and, you know, how we were brought together in these conversations is talking about the sexual energy, the sacral energy, creation energy. And if you kind of figured me out like a robot, I think that would make things really dull. Really dull and very predictable.
It would also make me want to go find another problem to solve.
Absolutely. So I would say to men and women out there, really retain some of your mystery, because that's kind of exciting, and especially if the masculine in us wants to problem solve and the external masculine wants to problem solve, he might be intrigued to try to solve the mystery, but never able to, because we're infinite evolving energetic fields. So you can probably
enjoy the mystery. Enjoy the mystery and dive into the mystery. You just explore the mystery. It's not absolutely. I mean, there's plenty of problems out there to solve. Go tackle world hunger. That's a lot easier than trying to figure out your woman.
Absolutely. So when you talk about that, having adoration for one another, when you were saying, you know, we're not here against each other, we're a team.
Yeah.
If you could share how the feminine could show adoration for the masculine, where it can be well received but not too much, and felt sincere from the feminine.
Well, when you say adoration, I guess what I hear is, what do you mean by adoration?
Adoration in one, like appreciation, like to be in awe of, mm-hmm. whether it's an intimate partner or it's someone you're working with, masculine energy, to really appreciate. Because I notice a lot that typically what I hear from men, that they're not appreciated. And sometimes this comes from the feminine too. And I notice that feminine, they shut down on giving thanks when they feel like their needs aren't met. So it creates quite a little bit of a quagmire in a relationship and outside of one. So it would be beautiful if you could share how the feminine could adore the masculine, but in not in a smothering way. Like, you know, where the mystery's still there, but he feels like everything she's doing is received, noticed, and acknowledged.
Well, I'll tell you, what that brings up for me is, you know, I had an ex-girlfriend at the time. Like, it was in a really chaotic relationship, and she used to say really bad things about me. Like, she really was angry a lot, and she said the awfulest things I've ever heard a woman say to me in my life. Like, she's the one who said them a lot. And I remember telling her, like, don't, like, I remember just asking her to just don't, why do you do that? Don't do that. Like, I want you to see the best in me, et cetera, et cetera. And she would always say, well, I'm not here to kiss your butt. I'm not going to kiss your butt. Like, I'm not going to kiss your butt. And I remember thinking, I don't want you to kiss my butt. I don't need you to kiss my butt. I don't need you to flatter me. What I want is you to see the best in me. And, you know, when you say adoration, it's interesting. It's a word I don't really connect with that much, as I'm really awakening to my masculine. I'm going through what I call my masculine awakening. And the word, I don't really need to be adored like I did when I was 15, when I was more of a feminine guy. Like, that was, I wanted to be cherished and appreciated. That was more I think as a masculine, as I'm kind of really waking up to, I want to be respected. I do want to be cherished. I do want to be loved. But
so use those words, honor, respect, and then gratitude. Yeah. How can we express that to you?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. How can you express those to me? Well, I want to know that I'm doing good. Mm-hmm. I want to know that I'm doing good. You know, even if I'm making mistakes, I want to hear that I'm doing good. I want to know that you're seeing where I'm doing good. And maybe if I'm not doing everything perfect, that you know at least that in my heart I want to. And, you know, when you tell me that I do good, I feel great. Because what I'm hearing you tell me is, I'm solving all the problems. I'm handling business. I'm taking care of it. I'm showing up. I'm conquering whatever evil forces are at the gate. I'm doing it. I got it. And you recognize that. That to me says, like, wow, I'm doing good. I'm doing what I came here to do. I'm here to protect you and provide for you, and I'm doing good. And she sees that. That appreciation, like, that makes me feel good as a man. I mean, what is that? So when I say that, what does that bring up for you?
I think it's beautiful, and I, really wish in my past I'd been able to show up, and what I have in my past also where acknowledgement, you know, even with my father, realizing all he's ever needed from me is patience.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I think every male relationship I've had, they've needed patience too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you're speaking of is letting them know they've done good versus criticize
yeah.
it. You know, oftentimes,
exactly.
I've witnessed this in myself. You know, you have an idea and then you come together as a team maybe to do something. And then it's not exactly what you thought. And then rather
yeah.
than going to the criticism, you can say, wow, this is so amazing. We did this, you know, and celebrate the success of it or whatever was successful.
Yeah.
And not go to pick apart the things that weren't perfect. You know,
well, you know what's interesting about that, Suzanne, is yeah, I mean, criticizing your masculine partner is one of the most emasculating things you can do.
Absolutely.
Really. Right? Telling them they're doing it all wrong, they're messing up. I mean, just try to tell a man how to drive. How does that go? How's that going to go over? Right? Not generally well. So that's just a silly little example, but it's true. Telling a man he's doing it wrong or do it different, it's not very emboldening. It's very, in fact, that's going to do one of two things. It's going to drive him even it's going to make him man up even more because you just basically told him he's not acting like a man. He's not handling business. So he's either going to man up more and fight you, not necessarily move in the direction you wish he would, but he's going to fight you because who are you to tell me I'm not being a man, right? Or again, he's going to run away and say, well, I can't be man enough for her. I'll never be man enough for her. So I'm going to check out. So acknowledging, and it's fascinating that a lot of women these days, they've been taught and have, and rightfully so, though, have developed masculine energy, but then they bring it into an intimate relationship and they start trying to give masculine direction when they really want a masculine partner. And they don't even realize what they're doing is, again, it's all innocence. I'm not blaming anybody. We're all innocent in our ignorance. But a woman will bring that masculine energy because she wants things a certain way. And that's what masculine energy does. Masculine energy wants things a certain way. And when they aren't that way, masculine energy sees a problem and I'm going to solve it. So a woman will step up and say, well, there's a problem here. You didn't do it right. And I'm going to solve it, or you're going to do it differently. And all of a sudden, you've just forced that man into either working to out-masculine you again because he really wants to be the man, or he's just going to go feminine, or he's going to turn into a little boy, or he's going to run away.
Mm.
See?
Yeah, absolutely. And this checking out, you brought this up
yeah.
a couple of times.
A lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think if you can share a little bit more about that, you know, I witness it sometimes being a mom with my kids,
mm-hmm.
and I hate it because I don't like disappearing, and it's not because I'm escaping, it's just sometimes
yeah.
I'm just not there and I need to come back to,
mm-hmm.
or come to whatever's just met me, because children will just
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden appear and demand your attention.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can talk, you know, you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
You're like, whoa, here they are.
Right.
But it's very, what you're saying is so beautifully and telling, because what I've witnessed within myself in my own evolution is, you know, there could be a part and with people I work with, but the woman can just start pressuring the male energy where she wants something to be resolved. She won't let
yeah.
up until she gets an answer. And mm-hmm. if she had created some space, he
mm-hmm.
might have been able to digest it. This is my perspective. He might have been able to digest it and then come to a solution or solve the problem and
yeah.
create peace.
Yeah.
You can speak a little bit to that, what happens when the male
yeah.
checks out, when he actually kind of leaves the premises physically or just emotionally or mentally.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of factors could be involved, but the way that you just described it, like where his woman is just kind of constantly coming at him, demanding a solution or demanding action, or that's very masculine behavior, just quite frankly. That's masculine behavior, and it's not that a woman has no right to do that, of course not. But if she wants to be in relationship with a masculine man, then acting masculine is not going to elicit a masculine partner. It's going to elicit a fight partner. It's It's going to elicit a boxing partner. It's going to elicit what's going to – it's just – I mean, we're so much more powerful than we realize, men and women, in relationships. Because, look, men can do things also that elicit masculinity in their women. So I'm not trying to put any blame on anybody here, but just kind of dealing with the scenario that we're talking about.
Absolutely.
But in that, you know, if a woman is genuinely feminine and she wants to be the feminine partner in the relationship, like that's her excitement, that feels good in her body. She wants to be able to relax and not have to handle everything and run the family and take care of all the business. And like, if she wants to be able to relax and trust that her masculine partner is has got her, that she can relax into his arms and into his clarity and his presence, then she's going to want to cultivate her feminine energy and learn how to be feminine in that dynamic.
Mm.
And there are actual skills that a woman can practice to do that. Right?
But, absolutely.
Right, and so it's challenging for a lot of women, though, because we're in a culture where you're so encouraged to develop your masculine energy, and that's appropriate in the workforce. It's not always very helpful in intimate relationships.
Yes.
What do you think? What do you think about women?
I completely agree, and you know, when we get back to when you say that, I would love for you to share, especially to the feminine, how a masculine male energy would like to really engage with the feminine, meaning, you know, not just directly into the bedroom, but just really engage mm-hmm. with her and hold that energy and how he would like her to receive it. Because mm-hmm. I know the feminine can close down, shut the doors, and, you know, then the male energy can run away. it's like, okay. So if you could just share, if you're in your full masculine and you want that feminine to be in front of you, how do you want her to receive you?
Yeah, well, and I think it's worth pointing out that a feminine woman should only yield, surrender, open to a masculine man that is worthy of her.
Mm. Uh-huh.
So, yeah, a hoe on that. I mean, I want to really be clear about that it's part, we're doing this dance together. I mean, we're all evolving together and you know, what a masculine man really wants. I mean, he wants a woman to surrender. He wants a woman to open. Right, to surrender, to relax. I mean, that's what even happens during sex. I mean, the man's body tightens and points, and the woman's body relaxes and opens.
Mm.
Right? So ultimately, that's sexually speaking, but even just energetically speaking, I mean, the most attractive feminine creature to a masculine one, and then a feminine woman to a masculine man, is a woman that's just so in her body and so alive, and she just radiates, not because she's physically beautiful, but because she's animated from inside, and it just pours through her face. You know, it beams, her light beams through her whole body. She glows regardless of what she physically looks like. I mean, there are women in their 80s that just radiate femininity, and it's attractive, not sexually speaking, but it is attractive in terms of that feminine presence. And there are gorgeous women that men aren't attracted to because these women are very much more in their masculine. They're tight and they're closed and they're distrustful and they're in their heads and they're right in a real fearful stance. So, I mean, ultimately that's what any masculine creature is looking for in a feminine counterpart is that relaxation and that flow because, you know, that radiance, it's like life is moving through her. She's so open that life is just rushing through her and pouring out, and that's just so seductive and attractive to a masculine creature. Because in our masculinity, we're tight, and we're in our heads, and we're not really connected to the body, and that's why that feminine presence really seduces us in a way that we're so hungry for.
Mm. Yeah, water.
Like water. I mean, how do you want a masculine man to show up? How do you want a masculine man to be in your presence?
Very strong in the sense, not like overpowering, but strong and mm-hmm. still and mm-hmm. Certain, you know, where there's not, I want him to feel like the mountain, you know,
you see,
just,
and it's interesting you say it, like, I never want a woman who is still. Like that.
Yeah, well,
like,
we're dynamic.
I wouldn't be attracted to a still woman. Like, right. I'd poke you. Like, are you alive? What's going on there? Are you okay?
Yeah, because it's like the woman is the river, you know, from the top of the mountain. The snow's melting,
right.
And she's, you know, become this rush of water over the masculine. You know, I want him to be playful though, but I want him to within that playfulness. You know, there's a where you can just look at him and, you know, he has the answer and all you have to do is look at his eyes. You don't even have to have a conversation, you know?
Yeah. There's a reason women have been dancing for men throughout the ages. I mean, we've turned it into a sexual thing in our culture because we're just so repressed and dysfunctional around that, you know, stripping and all that. But in cultures throughout the ages, it's been a very healthy part of their culture. You know, I spent a couple months living in Egypt and belly dancers. It's not like we don't have anything like that in this country, really, in our culture, other than stripping, which again, in that ancient culture, women dance for men and the men are there to appreciate the beauty and the woman is just expressing this life force through her. And, I mean, look, Egypt has all kinds of other problems. We don't need to get into that. But I'm not, like, holding that up to some great idea of a cultural renaissance.
You say that, because when you were bringing up the point of women being relaxed, you know, having this trait of being, if the woman was fully embodied in that emotion of relaxed in the dance, and the male, you know, even if he's been in the workplace, he needs to relax. Even the scenario we had when the woman came home. So that dance, that beautiful movement, that dynamic motion can actually bring both entities into a relaxed state so they can enjoy one another. That's what
Absolutely.
It feels like.
And enjoy the polarity that's being created, right? Enjoy the polarity of feminine masculine because, again, you know, if I want another masculine presence, I mean, I'll go hang out with my guy friends or I'll go hang out with a girlfriend that I'm not attracted to.
Right.
But that's, we get into intimate relationships because there's a polarity exchange. There's this juicy thing that you've got and I'm enchanted by it I feel safe in its presence, whatever, but there's something, you're bringing something to me that I don't have in my own experience very much. And so we're partnering to, again, it's the yin yang flow, one into the other. It's this divine partnership dance.
So, absolutely. So what I think, this word play, because when we're talking about the still relaxed woman, still man relaxed, but playful, how, and I think part of, you know, if we go back to the beginning, when we were talking about shame and rebuilding trust, as I've found personally, and I encourage clients that I work with to, you know, cultivate play, because it brings you into kind of a pure state. If you can share a little bit about how you would like to play with the feminine.
Well, I love being playful. It's so much fun. Playfulness is great. That's the little boy inside me that ran most of my life. But now that the man is emerging, I don't want to lose that boy. I mean, but it's time for the man to drive rather than letting the little boy in me drive. So playfulness is wonderful. And you know, I'm very drawn to women who are playful. I'm very drawn because playful means is really being connected to your body. I mean, you can't play. You can be witty with your words and your intellect, but playfulness doesn't come from really an intellectual thing. Playfulness is about being spontaneous in the moment and being with a woman who is really embodied and can go there with me and really even seduce me with her feminine playfulness. I mean, you know, I remember years ago I was in a business suit on the beach in Florida. I was at a business conference and I met a woman there, and I was in my business suit and we went out to the beach and she just started running around in the water. And I'm in my business suit and she's like, come on in. And I was like, are you crazy? I'm in my masculine business suit. And I remember she just ran over to me and she just kind of cuffed up my legs really high. And then she just pulled me in the water. And I remember thinking, and it was wonderful. And I remember thinking, I would never do this by myself. My masculine kind of mission-oriented way would I get my business suit wet in the ocean water. I wouldn't even have been on the sand. I wouldn't even have gone out onto the beach. But this, her dance, her feminine dance, seduced me into this playful space, and I got to feel the water on my skin. It's like she seduced me in this really beautiful, sensual experience of connecting with the earth, and despite the fact that I'm wearing my business suit. And I'll never forget that. And that happens. I've seen that in many, many different cases where that's a gift of a feminine presence, is that she, with through her playfulness and her embodied way, her connection to her to body and to the planet, that she literally seduces me out of my masculine rigidity and she brings me into the body and into connection with the planet. And that's why, I mean, that feminine gift is so extraordinary and so necessary for our world at this time. You know, I mean, can you relate to that?
Absolutely. And here when you talk about that is for the feminine to have a little bit more courage to be in that role, and meaning like welcoming herself to be in that role instantly. It doesn't have to be a distorted exist here now, and play with it and see what happens.
Absolutely. We men want to be seduced, even if we put up a good show like we don't. I'm sure I resisted her. I was like, no, I'm not going in there. I'm not. But she just kept being playful and kept staying in her feminine power. And ultimately, I was helpless. And that's what the feminine is so powerful, to melt the masculine resistance. But if she would have taken me on and forced me, like if she would have gone masculine and insisted and forced, that, you know, in a kind of an ordering way, it just wouldn't have worked at all. But she just stayed connected to herself. You know, she stayed playful and she stayed feminine, and just, I mean, I was putty in her hands. And that's the power of the feminine.
So what I'd like us to do, because this conversation could go, we're going to have another one. We're going to have another one. But what I'd like you to share, I guess, in closing, and if you have anything you want to ask me in closing, but just as a takeaway for this moment, because we innocently dove into this conversation, kind of allowing ourselves to go where we would go, and this is where we went, to share what you feel would be a nice cap on what wisdom you've given to the feminine and to the masculine, so we can start repairing the gender rift.
Well, I think that, again, remembering we're not adversaries. I know our cultural narrative has framed it that way, but we're not. We're not adversaries. We're really ignorant. That's just for real. We're really ignorant. We don't get taught this stuff at all. At best, we see our parents act out some drama, or sometimes it's a tragedy. Rarely is it really a happy story, but it happens. But more often than not, it's just not a good thing that we. It's not a very healthy model that we get, and so we grow up and we don't take classes in school on this stuff. We're just ignorant. We're ignorant, and we're all innocent in that ignorance. And so, I think the key to remember is, I think really learning about how we are different, because we are, masculine and feminine energies are so different, and getting compassion for those differences, getting awareness around it, is what really gives us access to making different choices and showing up differently for each other. And you know, that's I've been studying that intently for the last 4 years since my last relationship just blew up in my. I mean, it was blowing up for 5 years, but when it finally ended, I was destroyed. And so, I threw myself into researching all this and studying all this and trying it out in my own dating life and with my friends and in my own coaching practice. And it's just been revolutionary, just getting awareness around all this stuff. And so that's the capstone, I would say, just get awareness. We're not adversaries. We're all on the same team. We need to recover that.
Aho.
And aho. And so I just ask you, Suzanne, that sits in for a moment. I mean, as a woman, you know, I get that the paradox of, like, I can't make you happy. Man, no one can make anyone else happy, and I can't fix your problems for you. But at the same time, how can the masculine people on this planet, how do you think that we can redress the challenges that we've wrought, the oppressive, the disregard that we've had for feminine energy for so long? Like, what would you ask?
Oh, well, I guess it's two parts. One, as you were talking, I invite the masculine and the feminine, but the masculine, as it relates to the feminine, to be vulnerable. I would love the masculine to be vulnerable with me, and also to show me respect and honor. I really think to have a lot of fun. Those are the things I ask my kids to do, but really to be vulnerable, show respect for one another, and to have fun. That would be my formula and my invitation. The rest, I don't want to fight. I just want to have a good time, really. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, yeah, you know, it's interesting what I just heard you say. Also, is basically masculine people, please embrace more your inner feminine, because that would allow you to be vulnerable and respect me.
Absolutely. And I know it's scary, you know, because that we all have wounds that we don't even know about. Sometimes we can't even articulate, and so we're shielded. But that vulnerability, I think, is just necessary if we're going to get over some of these hurdles together. You know?
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Well, and the only thing I was going to add is that I invite the feminine to be gentle with the masculine. Step into our feminine and be gentle. We don't have to be mean.
No, it has its moments to serve, but meanness. But you can be mean while still you can be strategically mean and thoughtfully mean, which maybe isn't really mean actually. Anyway, now I'm just rambling.
No.
Well, great conversation, Suzanne. I really thank you for creating the space for all of this. I think I figured out the technical problem the last half of the interview, this conversation. I could hear you much, much better. I think I figured out what it was. So hopefully we won't have that problem again next time. But it's hard for me
Good.
The first 30 minutes, just so you know.
Yes, well, I appreciate you bearing with us and me through that. And I look forward to our next discourse. We might be seeing each other very soon in person, so we might be able to do this side by side for the next round and go for there. So I really appreciate you giving your wisdom and your time, Brian, and opening up this conversation to move us into the next with the masculine
Thank
and the
you.
Feminine.
My joy and my passion. Thank you, Suzanne.
You're welcome. So until next time, this is She and He signing out with a deep bow, a soft gaze, a full heart, and a namaste. Be simply.